Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, morning, or night to all of you that are listening. This is Brother Lee coming heart to heart and face to face about end time prophecy and truth that are being fulfilled right before our eyes. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus is coming. He is Lord. Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is coming back again to rule and to reign. So, this is Brother Lee from Chicago, representing the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, by way of the Church of Christ with Elijah Message. As a servant of Christ and part of the body of Christ, concerning the last day, prophet Elijah must come and restore all things, Matthew 17. The midnight cry, the voice crying in the wilderness, the last call. At midnight, the cry is made, Matthew 25, concerning the 10 virgins who are foolish and wise. The message to the church, the last day church. So today, beloved, we pray that the Holy Spirit would quicken you, enlighten you, inspire you, and help you to come to understanding of God's purpose in these last days. For he that has ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to not only to the churches, but to Israel and to the whole world. Now, O Lord Jesus, we thank you, and I breathe on all those that are humble and meek and searching and seeking to hear the word of the living God. Beloved, I'm so glad to have this opportunity to speak to you, Block Radio. I count it a privilege and a great joy that as a servant of Christ and the kingdom of God, that I have these moments given to me as a gift of God. I'm born in these last days, no accident, no coincidence, to declare the kingdom of God and Jesus coming. Hallelujah. And also declare another truth that is important to the bride being married, the Elijah call, the Elijah message, the Elijah ministry, the spirit and power of Elijah is the last call. Now, many of you have not heard this, don't know this, but that's okay, that's why we're here, to share some light and truth. He that has ear, let him hear and humble himself before the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for another day. Now, as previous, a week before the end time prophet, we were talking about the most important revelation of truth in the whole Bible, the atonement, the Passover of the living, the Passover Lamb of God. This whole message of the Bible from beginning to end to the fallen man through Adam and sin is about the deliverance that God has planned before the foundation of the world. When Adam would fall and sin, there will be a recovery plan, redemption, called redemption. Genesis 3:15. He promised Adam after the fall there would come a deliverer, a redeemer. Through the cross and through his death, he would crush and defeat Satan and sin, and recover, redeem and recover and rescue and restore man from his fallen state in spiritual and sickness, in physical death and spiritual death, and the end result would be total separation from God because of sin. But a rescue plan, a recovery plan, a redemption plan, and a restoring of man back to the presence of the living God was before the foundation of the world already in the mind of the living God, the Creator. Thank God he loved us enough to foresee and foreknow and make a plan to recover, to rescue, and restore fallen humanity through the blood of the cross and through his crushing Satan, defeating death, hell, and the grave, and loose the captive that we might live and be raised together with him in Christ all because Yahweh sent his only begotten Son, John 3:16. And the blood of Jesus, the atonement, is the most important message. And the Passover lamb, the resurrection, is the most important message in the whole plan and purpose of God. There is no important message in the whole Bible. It all points to one shall come. His name is Jesus the Christ in our language. In the Hebrew, Yeshua HaMashiach. I guess the Spanish would call him Jesus, and the Hebrews call him Isa, in many other languages. But in our language, we call him Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Holy Messiah of Israel. So today, we're talking about the blood atonement and the Passover lamb and the power of his resurrection. In time, I'm going to read something about a angel messenger, Revelation 14:6. Revelation 18:8, angel will come with a special message called the bridegroom message, a message to Israel to recover and to the churches in the Laodicean age and to all of mankind and all nations. It'll be called the final message, the final call, midnight cry, the Elijah for to come, Matthew 17, to restore all things, Malachi 4:5, and he would come prior to Christ coming in this dreadful day that we see judgment is filling the earth. Hallelujah to awakening and bring especially America to her knees and the whole world. For God loves us all. He sent his only begotten Son. He is no respect of skin, a color, or a class. For all have sinned, Romans 3. All are under sin. All have fallen under the sin curse of Adam. And all need a redeemer and a savior. No doubt about it, you got a sin nature in you because you came out of Adam. 1 Corinthians 15 says we all are dead, spiritually cut off because of Adam's sin. But thanks be to God, in Ephesians chapter 2, God who is rich in mercy, wherein he reloved us, came to redeem us through his Son, and the sacrifice of his life to purchase and redeem us by his own blood. Isn't that something? The message, above all confusion and religions in the world, there's only one message of hope, only message of deliverance, only message of redemption and recovery, the Lamb of God. John 1:27, when John the Baptist first introduced Jesus as the Lamb of God when he first missioned. But I'm just to tell you that he had a second coming. The Jews did not see it, their eyes were blind, but he had a second coming back again. So today, an angel has blown a trumpet in Revelation 10, Revelation 18 and 1, and Revelation 14 and 6, and Malachi 4 and 5. This angel come in the spirit and power of Elijah. Never heard of him. Well, it's in your Bible. So a lot of things people had, don't know that's in the scriptures concerning the last day prophecy being fulfilled. I know many people of you thinking that you've heard quite a bit about this what we call rapture, and you don't have to worry anything about anything because the rapture is going to take place any minute. Well, if I were you, I would research that and see whether that is actually true, because I'm about to give you something disappointing, but I'm going to give you joy behind it. Recovery. There is no rapture such as been preached, snatching you out before the great trouble and distress come. I'm afraid that's an error. That's an opinion of man. Hallelujah. That's a thought of man. That's a tradition that's been passed on. There is no rescue by no rapture, but there is going to be a rescue and deliverance. Remember the days of Noah, Matthew 24. He said, as it was in the days of Noah. Well, you had to go back and parallel and compare. All truth is parallel, and truth has often have dual aspects, present, future. Present, future. Hallelujah. So today, we have this angel message coming, and how we're going to discern, Matthew 24, there'll be many deceivers, and everybody has to be very cautious. Jesus said, be very careful and very discerning and very humble, for there'll be many, many deceiving in the latter day. Matthew, he said, be many false prophets, many false messages, many false, whatever you call religions, many. In fact, he gives us the truth that one of the greatest deception to the Christian would be found in Revelation 13, Revelation 18, the mother of harlots. That's talking about a false church in Rome that will arise in the 6th century and take its place. We call the Roman Catholic or Greek, to try to take the place of the real church, would have been prophesied and overthrown for 1260 days. But it will recover itself, after Daniel said in chapter 7, after 1260 years, it will begin to stand tall again with brightness and light. Thank God that God began to recover the church back in Martin Luther, 1600, and then he brought, right after that, he began to roll the truth back again to Jonathan Edward, the Moravians, came on down to Roger William about the water baptism, and then justified by faith, and Wesley, so that sanctification, Broyles would bring sanctification back again, and holiness, and Moody, and Finney, and Spurgeon, and God of mine, he began to roll this truth back again and unveil the darkness that had been in dark ages, but God began to recover, rescue, and bring the restoration. But it was not complete until the last message, even though Finney and Moody and the Zuda Street Revival and the Wales Revival and the Healing Revival and the Faith Movement, it's in the spiritual warfare movement, it would not yet be complete until the last message. A cry is made at midnight. Matthew 20. A voice, one crying. Amidst of all this darkness and chaos, Isaiah 60, Joel chapter 2, gross darkness, confusion, compromise, the Leviathan church, the Lycian church. Listen, this last cry to prepare people, awaken the people. So, but how do you know this angel message of restoration is of the Lord? Jesus said there'll be many deceivers in Matthew, and watch out, many false prophets, even a false Christ will come. False messages, false men and women. And do you know right now we have about all the religions of the world in every culture, most all of the cultures have one religion or another. And so there will come a message that will be as light shining in darkness to speak to all the nation. It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is why Paul said in Romans 1 and 16, who one time was a persecutor of the true church and fighting and a terrorist to kill the Christians, but he met Jesus. He met the Lord Jesus, the risen Christ, on the road to Damascus, and he visits him. In the 9th chapter of Acts, and Paul's eyes was open. He fell to the ground because Jesus said, I'm he whom you're fighting against. So all the many people that are fighting against the gospel know who you're fighting against. Hallelujah. But he made himself known to Saul, who was a good Jew and a good, but he was spiritually blind like many Jews are today. And like many Christians are today. Many church people and sinners even so have. Now, I want to say this. God knows the heart of all. Not judging you, but I judge this whether the truth is being shared in the light of what the gospel said. I have to speak that. Now, the last message, the last call in the Bible, there's always a last, as it was in the days of Noah, in Sodom and Gomorrah, and just going through the Bible, there's always a last move of the Holy Ghost, a last call, a last awakening, a last revival, outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There's always a last in God's plan. That's the first, that the beginning, and then it comes down to what we call the latter rain, the modern rain, the former rain, the last message of warning and awakening. I'm to blow the trumpet in Zion and bring this last awakening. This angel of God had brought a message. We said, oh, that could be the devil. Oh, that's just another thing. We don't need it. We don't want it. We got the Bible. But this is what you got to understand, beloved. The Bible says if you, in the Revelation, if you take away from this revelation, or you add to it or take away, it said two things in the last book, what we call the book of Revelation of John. If you add or take away, it says two things. It doesn't say one, just add to it. It said if you take away, anything from the words of this prophecy of Revelation. That means if you don't believe it or don't accept it, or you ignore it or cut it out, or you try to add to it. Now, most people will emphasize the part about the revelation, don't add to it, but they don't say anything about the other part. Jesus said, if you take away anything of the book of this prophecy of Revelation, if you take away. So we don't want to take any away from the truth of being fulfilled. And Revelation 18 and 1, Revelation 14 and 6, and many angels, and Revelation 10 talks about a special light and truth that will be restored back, called the fullness of the gospel. Hallelujah. The pure gospel, the unadulterated gospel. So don't take away from that prophecy. Neither add it. But most of all, don't take away, don't ignore it. Like the Jews did in the days of John the Baptist when he came in the spirit and power of Elijah. They ignored him mostly. And they took judgment, and this came upon them. So the foolish virgins and also the church people say, I got enough, don't need no more, and going to ignore. Maybe many of them will ignore this mess, but I hope that you don't. I hope that you won't. You humble yourself. Don't do like the foolish Jews in Jesus' day. Don't let the church do the same thing, the same parallel thing they did. Sure, you are to be cautious. Sure, you to search things out, you discern things. Sure, you to check everything out. Of course you're to do that, because there'll be many deceivers in the last days, many deceivers. But I want to help you to discern, and we're going to speak about this angel's message that's brought, called the Midnight Cry today. And a lot of people say, well, it could be the devil, it could be man. It could be, I guess that's true. You're right. But there are many deceivers, many false religions in the world today. Many false teaching, even some among Christians. Yes. But let me say this, beloved. Let me say this about understanding, about discerning the truth in these last days and not casting off that which comes from God. You remember in the book of Acts when the apostles of Jesus Christ, whom he had trained for 3 years, and the power of the Holy Ghost that came upon them, and they began to go forth, and the Jews began to call them all these different names. They called Jesus a blasphemer, a false prophet, a liar. Can you imagine that his own chosen people, the Jews, when he came to him, they received him not, just like the prophet said, Isaiah 53, when he would come, the Bible, and Hosea and Jeremiah, many of them said that when Jesus, the Messiah, would come, the Jews would reject him. And so it came to pass. If that come to pass, then everything in the end time and everything at the end of the world going to come to pass too. And they killed Jesus. They rejected him, the Jews and the Romans. And the Pharisees said they killed their Lord, their Savior, their Messiah, the promised one. Now, can you imagine if you had lived in that day and you said, I wouldn't have did like the Pharisees said. If they were the church and they were the chosen people that day, many of them, the Pharisees, the hierarchy, and they rejected their Lord and their Savior when he came. You say, I wouldn't have did it. I wouldn't have did it. Well, you're going to get your chance to prove that. In this last day, there's going to be a cry made at midnight. There's going to be an Elijah call, the bridegroom message. We're going to see whether you're going to reject. You say, I wouldn't reject if Jesus. I lived in that day. I would never reject Jesus or the voice of John the Baptist. I would accept it. Well, we're going to see, because you're going to get the same test in the last day. You're going to get the test now in the end time. The same test the Jews got. Now, I'm not saying you swallow hook, line, and sinker anything that comes along. Of course not. Absolutely not. Be very cautious, Kelly. Discern, check, test, prove whether these things be of God. Now, I'm going to give you a little discerner test, if you don't mind. In the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus was casting out demons. Wait a minute. Somebody got upset. Yes, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and his word is the same, and his promise is the same, and his work is supposed to be the same, and the devil is still the same, and God is still the same, and the gospel is supposed to be the same, and the power of God is supposed to be given the same. Righteousness and holiness and pureness, all is supposed to come back and restored. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm just sharing with you that I'm just giving the testimony. I'm fulfilling my call. You'll have to decide. I'm not trying to force it upon you. Neither am I getting paid to do this. I'm not getting any money. I'm not on any salary. Hallelujah. I don't get any money for this, babe. I don't ask you for any money. We don't ask anything on this broadcast. The Elijah Message Group, Brother Nate and Emmanuel that comes on, and Brother Kevin, we don't ask for any money or donation. We don't have no scam, no special sand or water, anything of that. We're not going to reject any donation if I don't want to help to keep this on the broadcast, but we don't solicit anyone because God can provide without any scam. The midnight cry, the last call. How are we going to discern this? Well, let me give you a little test. Jesus in his day was called a Beelzebub, a false prophet, a blasphemer, and all of those things by his own people, the Jews in Israel. Can you imagine that? I came to my own, and my own received me not. I was in the world, and they knew me not. Came to my own, they didn't receive me. His own family didn't receive him, his own hometown. And his own Jewish, who was supposed to represent the great God Jehovah in his covenant. But they was blind as a bat, hardened hearted, and greedy. The Pharisees was probably the largest sect. And then the other sect was the Sadducees and the scribes and the Zealots. They rejected their Redeemer. They rejected John the Baptist, the cry. You and I will get the same opportunity in the last days to have the same test and the same opportunity to reject or accept. Let me give you an example about this. Most of all of the latter day great move of the Holy Ghost, the true authentic move, I'll just use one back in 1879-8, the Cane Ridge Revival in Kentucky. The Cane Ridge, that was a mighty move to a man interceding and fasting two people, one named Father McGreedy. The other one was another man. They cried, two men sought for revival and a spiritual awakening, and they cried mightily and sought the Lord greatly out in the forest, and their voice could be heard ringing out into the city. Now, night and day, until God made a mighty, mighty move of the Holy Spirit. In Cane Ridge Revival, many, many, many hundreds and thousands of people were converted and convicted and brought to the Lord Jesus. In the Wales Revival, Evan Roberts in Wales, that moved on to 1906 in the United States to the Azusa Street Bible, initiated by a man with others who were also praying, but initially the man that was the catalyst to bring it about was a black colored man named Bishop Seymour. Bishop Seymour. Now, in Los Angeles, California, 1906, Bonnie Bray Street in a small house where they were praying and seeking for the move of God. Whenever there's a great move of God, the Holy Ghost, what happened in many cases all the way through history, the mainline churches, most of them reject the revival. Just like in Jesus' day, just like in Elijah's day, Israel turned it back. The mainline people who should be hearing usually at first reject the real authentic revival. No, you're supposed to reject the false and the deception, of course. But why is it many cases the mainline church who have their traditions, the real move of God can come among them to take them a step further, they'll fight against it? That's happened in the Azusa Street Revival in 1906 in L.A. to change the course of America and the world. And the Azusa Street Revival was one of the greatest revival in the latter century. The Azusa Street Revival, the Cane Ridge, God move among Moody and Finney and Spurgeon and did a great work. Then John Lake, but on down to the 1940s, to the great healing revival, tent revivals, and the prayer faith movement, the latter rain, most of the traditional churches fight and reject it. Some of them change their mind and see the realness of God and come. But most of them, now we have the last test, like it was given to the Jews in Jesus and John the Baptist. They turn their back. They reject it. Now here, I want you to understand that the angel of the Lord is coming today in our time, bringing a word that has been coming, a word in this last generation. Jesus in the 12th chapter of Matthew, was casting out demons, and the Jews, who were jealous and greedy and blind, said that he cast them out by Beelzebub. They accused the work of the Holy Ghost. Now, here's the thing about Jesus said, every sin will be forgiven. If you speak against the Son of Man, and they spoke against him, that will be forgiven. But if they spoke against actually the work of the Holy Spirit, that was a serious thing. Serious thing. Most serious. In the 12th chapter, Jesus casting out demons, this is what he said to those blind Jews, Pharisees. If I cast out demons by Beelzebub, if I'm casting out demons, if Satan, the prince of demons, were called Beelzebub, and the Jews accused Jesus of casting out demons, just like they'll probably do the same thing. If you cast out demons in the last days, a lot of time people will open their mouths quickly and should be quietly before they judge and to know what they're saying. Jesus said to the Jews, if I cast them out by Beelzebub, then Satan is divided against itself. Why would he destroy his own kingdom? If a house divided against itself, it will not stand. If I cast out, if Satan is casting out his own demons, he's working against itself. If I, by the finger of God, cast out demons, no doubt the kingdom of God has come to you. But he said, if I cast out the devil by Beelzebub, then he's working against itself. So Satan is not going to work to destroy his own kingdom. That's what Jesus is trying. He's telling them that's idiotic. It's idiotic. Now I want you to read. The angel messenger came today, and I'm going to show you how you can judge whether things be of God, of Christ, and scripturally. I want you to read what the angel of the Lord said. And you discern whether this is the devil or Satan. I want you to discern because the kingdom of darkness, Satan is the head of it. And the kingdom of light, the redeemed church of Jesus Christ, Christ is the head of that. He's the head of his people, the head of his body. Listen. The angel of the Lord came and left a word. I want you to discern whether it is of the devil. And the angel came with an 87th message, and he said in verse 22, let all that come to the church, Church of Christ, be baptized with water, the laying on of hands, for the gift and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the devil is not wanting you to have the two gifts of the Holy Spirit of Christ in your life. And this angel said, let all come. But he goes on, and this angel messenger says, message 87, 23, and 24, let repentance and faith be taught, and remission of sin through the atoning blood of Christ. Now, I want you to understand that Satan is not going to tell you, repent and put your faith in the atoning blood of Christ for remission of sin. He'd be working against his own self. He would teach such things. Let repentance and faith be taught, and remission of sin through the atoning blood of Christ. Do you think any demon or devil going to teach you that? If you ever have anything to do with demons and casting them out, declare the atoning blood over them and see what they'll say. Let's go on and see what this angel messenger says to discern whether it's of evil. Message, the angel came to Brother Draves and left his word. Awake, arise, write the words. I will give you a message of hope and peace. Now, Satan is not going to give you a message of peace and hope. Because he can't. He don't have any hope for you. He's not going to give you any hope to live. He can't give you peace because he don't have peace. The scripture says, follow peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So the devil is not going to give you any hope. He can't give you hope. He can't give you peace what he don't have. 1 Corinthians 13. The most important part of a Christian's character, and revelation is faith, hope, and the love of God. Without these, you're nothing. So the angel said a message of hope and peace to all. Peace to all that accept the words and follow through. Deliverance is found only in the teachings of Christ through his atoning blood for the mission of sin. See, no demon, no devil, no deceiving, and they're going to teach you, said, deliverance is found only in the teachings of Christ. Do you get that? Through his atoning blood and remission of sin. This is what the angel come and bring with that word. Now, you think the devil and demon or the Antichrist going to bring that message to destroy his kingdom? I think not. Now, the angel came and left another message in our generation, in our day, message 98:3. This is what the word he left with the scribe, W.A. Drades, when he brought this word. Message 98:3. I will come in the past, and I will come in the future, until the work is finished, and the Christ sit in the right hand of power, when Satan rule is put down. Then be rejoicing, for the millennium, the thousand-year rule, shall fold in, and all nations that live and dwell shall come and worship the Lord their God, even Jesus Christ, their Redeemer. Now, do that sound like Satan? I think not. He would be divided against his own self. I want to read for the angel that brought a word from the Lord. And in we're going to read it, and you discern. Message 101, verse 12. Here's what the angel said. You deserve what this from the devil, for man. It must be Christ Jesus, his teaching, his words for salvation and deliverance only come by him. Did you get that? Do you think Satan sent this word and this angel to say that to destroy his kingdom? Will he be against himself? The word of the Lord given by this angel, messenger Elijah, with the last day warning, and he bring this word. Would you think Satan or the Antichrist would speak against his own self? Let me read what the angel said in our day, 101, verse 12. It must be Christ Jesus, his teaching. You got your Bible? His words for salvation. Deliverance only come by him. Who? The Christ. And his teaching, his gospel. So now you determine whether the devil is speaking this. The angel, you can check it and test it by the Bible and the gospel and by the prophets and see whether it be of evil. But I can assure you, beloved, that Satan is, his nature is dark and rebellious, and he's not going to be fighting against his own kingdom to destroy his own works. It must be, said the angel of deliverance that bring this word. It must be the Christ Jesus, his teaching, his words for salvation and deliverance only come by him. The risen blood of Jesus, the atoning blood and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, how you can discern and not be deceived. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Wherefore, I give you to understand, John said, that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus Christ a curse. And no man can say that Jesus is Lord by the Holy Ghost, except by the Holy Ghost. No man can say that Jesus is Lord by the Holy Ghost. When casting out demons, working with demons, we tried to get the demons and the people to confess that Jesus Christ died on the cross and risen from the dead, and that he is Lord. We could not get them demons. They would shake their heads into people. They would say no. I said, Jesus Christ is Lord. He redeemed us by his blood. He's risen. The demon would not confess Jesus as Lord. He can't, because he'll be against his own kingdom, and Satan will, no telling what the devil would do to him if he were to confess it, because he can't. Let's go to 2 John, the second epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 9. How we can discern? Whosoever confess not, listen to this. Whosoever confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, this is a deceiver and antichrist. Today, they're trying to tell you that Jesus was just a sinner and a prophet and a good man, that he was not the immaculate Son of God, conceived of the Holy Ghost, and that he was God in the flesh without sin, and confess him that he is the only Lord and Redeemer. They want us to say that he's just a prophet and a master and a good man, and deny that he was the sinless Son of God who laid down his life and took it up again. And they don't want you, because if you deny that, you have no redemption, no salvation. The demons and the false religion deny that Jesus Christ was the very Son of God, conceived of the Holy Spirit, laid down his life for the world. They'll tell you that Jesus was a good man and the master and a nice man, and that he was a prophet. But that's no salvation in that. Oh, he was a prophet. That's no salvation in that. He must be the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. If you don't confess that Jesus is the Lamb of God without him, that only Redeemer, that he rose from the dead, broke the bands of death, and confess him as Lord, but no demon, no antichrist is going to confess that. No false religion going to say that. All the religions of the world will deny this, from Islam onward. Buddhists, all of them. All they say, we believe in Jesus, but not he's the Christ, the Redeemer, who died for the sins of the world and rose again. They can't confess it because that's a false religion. Whosoever shall confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, this is the deceiver and antichrist. 2 John 1 and 9. Whosoever transgress and abide not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. This angel, this messenger, he upholds the six principles of the gospel of Christ. He upholds that Jesus is Lord. He comes from his presence. He brings the gospel of redemption, reconciliation, justification, and righteousness, and restored fullness of truth to a bride may be ready. And listen what 2 John was it. Whosoever transgress, chapter 1, verse 9, 2 John, epistle of John, whosoever transgress and abideth not, got to stay in it, but some people go in traditions and doctrines of men, like many churches are. Whosoever transgress and abideth not in the doctrine of Jesus Christ has not God. And he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both. Listen to this. If you abide in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. I didn't write it, so don't get mad at me. The Pharisees said to Jesus in the 12th chapter, this fella, he casts out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said, every kingdom divided against itself brought to dissolution. Matthew 12. Every house or city against itself shall not stand. He that is divided against it, how can Satan's kingdom? If I, Jesus said, cast out devils by Beelzebub, then he asked them, who do your son cast them out? Now, people today don't believe that the same authority and power still exists to cast out demons and break yokes, because maybe they don't have the same gospel that the Bible teaches. But the messenger that comes today commands us in message 88 and 35, the same gospel of the Bible said, therefore come against him, break his yoke by true belief, break the yoke of the devil, cast him out. Like Mark 16 says, these signs shall follow the believers. In my name shall you cast that devil. Lay hands on the sick, speak with new tongues. Yes, I believe in the same Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost. I don't believe in different ones. If you don't want to believe it, you ain't going to receive it. I believe in the same power of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, and all the gifts of the Spirit. I don't believe it. The messenger that comes today said he brings the same gospel. Hallelujah, the restored gospel. So listen here. The atoning blood and the risen Christ, and that he is Lord, no demon, no antichrist, no false religion going to acknowledge that. Now, there's many good, loving people in Islam, over 1 billion. Many good, loving people who would believe in Islam and Prophet Muhammad. But Jesus, Scripture says there's only one sacrifice for sin. 8th chapter, I think, of Hebrew in 22 or 17, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. It makes no difference what Muhammad did. Without the shedding of this blood, there is no remission of sin. Read the whole chapter of Hebrew 9. One sacrifice, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world. One blood that takes the remission of sin, that accepts. One blood shed by the Lamb of God. Nothing no one else can do in any religion. They deny the blood and the Lamb of God and the resurrection. There is no hope. They may be good people, wonderful people, many people. That's why the gospel has been preached. The messenger that comes today said, only by the teaching of Christ and through the atoning blood for remission of sin can man be saved. So we know this angel is aligning himself in agreement with what the Bible says, and he's not false. The messenger of the day that speaks, the Elias, bringing the midnight cry. Listen, beloved, take time, in spite of your traditions and your own opinion. Everyone got their own opinion and their thoughts about something. But you have to find out, are you in line with the scriptures? Or are you in agreement with what is written? If you humble yourself meekly before the Lord Jesus, like James, the book of James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. People don't take time to get before the Lord. If they are born again and saved, they got it at event. But if you're a sinner, you still can get an answer if you're humble and honest. Because he says in Isaiah 55, if you seek me, in Jeremiah 29, with all your heart, I shall be found of you. Matthew 7:7, act and it shall be given. Seek, knock and shall be. If you are honest and sincere with all of your heart, it shall be open to you. Your understanding will be open if you're really, really sincere. God knows the heart, and he knows when you're sincere in the heart. He sees you, he knows your motive, he knows your desire. When people come to him, they can't deceive him and trick him. You can't jive him. I tried that once when I first was seeking the Lord. I was jiving him halfway, you know. I was in my wife's room. I was going to seek God. I was seeking Jesus. I just got out of the military, and I decided that I got to find the road of truth and path of righteousness. I'm in the wife's room. But I said, I'm going to read the Bible. And I started reading. I said, okay, I'm going to see what this God is real. Can he answer? Can he talk? Can he move? Can he speak? So I go in my wife's room and read the Bible, and I began. I really wasn't ready to come to God halfway. I just kind of halfway like most people. But God didn't go for the halfway. He knew my heart. When I made up my mind, and that night I got to know, I said, Lord, I'm willing to give up and surrender. Not all the way. I want you more than anything else, Jesus. And I began to seek him and cry him out to him. And he came in that washroom and made himself real and known to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of my rock and my salvation. I hope in my sharing to you about the last cry of this angel, I'm going to read you something in this angel messenger, the Elias, and he speaks about the sixth principle of the gospel, the most important one, the atonement, the blood. Revelation, in the book of 22, it said, don't take away from this book and this prophecy. Don't not take away. First he said, don't add anything. But then nobody mentioned what he said, don't take away from this prophecy. If you fail to take away the truth of this prophecy and try to ignore it and say, I don't believe it, you're taking away, you're stopping your ears, you're trying to take away, it's going to come to pass whether you believe it or not. Revelation 18:1, Revelation 14:6. Don't try to take away from the truth of that gospel. I said, ignore it. We don't need any more. Let the foolish virgins out. We got enough Holy Ghost. We got enough truth. We got enough of this. We don't need no more. The Buddhists found out later on they needed all of God's plan and purpose and all of God's light and power to endure the tribulation, the mark of the beast, and the trying of your faith. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess you thought you were going to be raptured away, the mark of the beast, and the Antichrist you were not going to face. But that's going to be a mighty deliverance for the bride of Christ to overcome. Everything that Satan can do, they're going to overcome it. Overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his power and the word of his might. They're going to get the victory. They're going straight through with victory, triumphant victory. No escaping, no running away, no escaping. We're going to tread down the enemy on the soles of our feet. For the sunlight of righteousness would come with healing power and deliverance power to defeat all that Satan's going to throw against the last day church. God is going to let us be tested. You're going to be tested just like the early church. I know you thought the first century church, where they was the first church went through their great tribulation, and you think that in the last day we're not going to go through our great tribulation, because the early church, first century, and Peter and James, and they all went through the prophets, they all went through their great tribulation. They had their anti, and you think that God is designed for you to escape. Yeah, there is a way of escape. That is me over with victory. Well, I'm going to be snatched out. Well, if you want to hold on to that, I'm not going to argue with you. If you believe that you're going to be snatched out, and you want to believe that without searching honestly and sincerely to see whether those things are true, but the angel and this messenger is telling us that it's not the way that we are going to be delivered. That's not the way of deliverance. Many of these good, fine, wonderful, God, Holy Ghost-filled people have misunderstood this. They don't mean that they're not in Christ, they're not redeemed, they're not women and men of God. It's just that they don't have the light on, they're the proper light. They're using their own perception, their own thoughts about Scripture. See, nobody understands everything about every Scripture, but they know the way of salvation and redemption is in Christ, which is the most important Scripture, through the blood. But they don't understand all the mysteries, all the prophecy. They don't have the complete light. Some have some light, and they presume and add their own thoughts and opinions. But this angel messenger that speaks today comes straight with the mind of Christ, without any flesh, without any opinion of man, brings the pure word of God. That's why it's called the restoring of the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, he's coming. But before he comes, Jesus said in 17th chapter, Elijah must first come and restore things. And he's restoring back to the foundation of Jesus' teaching, the blood, the death, the Immaculate Conception, the Holy Ghost. He's bringing us back to the basic and restoring the pure gospel to destroy all the myths and deception of Satan. That there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one blood, one sacrifice, one Jesus, one Lord, one deliverer, one that's coming back for a church made ready. Purified, sanctified, justified, glorified in Christ. Well, I love you, saints, and I hope that in my sharing today about the end time prophecy of the last call, Matthew 25, which is the hour we're living in. We're in the 12th hour in God's prophetic clock. We're in the 12th hour now. Since the 1900s, we've been in the prophetic 12th clock. Hallelujah. The 11th hour, they had God revealed too much in the 11th hour. In the 9th hour, he gave them dispensation of truth. But then the 12th hour is the last part of the dispensation of truth. The kingdom of God is at hand. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world. Matthew 24, and 12 and 14. This gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of Protestantism, Episcopalians, or any other isms. Surely, there's many wonderful great people in the Catholic Church who are blind and deceived, like Islam and many other religions. And even some of the good Protestants have some traditions and error in them. But the messenger that come today come to restore all truth and all gospel, and all righteousness through faith in the plan of God. You can discern, you can detect. Satan is not going to tell you that only through the teachings of Christ, only through his atoning blood, Shatta. Oh, the power of the blood of the called the atonement. The Jews, as a people, are celebrating Yom Kippur and the atonement in Yom Kippur, but they have not come to understanding the power that Jesus, Yeshua, was the Passover lamb for their deliverance. Some Jews are coming because in 1967, the eyes have begun to come open, as Daniel said. As Daniel prophesied in chapter 7, 9, and 10, that after the 2300 days, 1967 war, that the Jews, the Israel, will go back and begin to understand and come to Jesus as their Messiah. For they are sinners, just like the rest of us was. They are sinners, lost and cut off. Paul says, Romans, as he preached in the day to the Jews, he didn't hold the gospel from them because they are sinners too. No matter what the promise of God to them, they're still under sin. He brought them to the land. They're his special people, but they're still under sin. They die in their sins. There's no special provision, only one provision, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. One provision for all. Ephesians 4 says there's one Lord, one faith, one death, one redemption. Ephesians, there's only one way of the remission of sin. One sacrifice, Hebrews 9 and 10. If bulls and heifers and goats was accepted, but now that is done away. In the 3-chapter Exodus, when deliverance and freedom was brought to the Israel from Egypt, it had to be by the blood. He sprinkled the blood of the lambs, the goats, upon the doorposts. When you see the blood, the death angel passed by. Everything goes back to the blood and the resurrection of Christ. Every scripture, every prophet must come there. Every apostle going back and forth must speak there unless they're false or they're in error. Jesus is coming. But Elijah must come first. Well, you may be Episcopalian, a Baptist, a Methodist Church of God, a Latter Rain, a full God, a prophetic man. You may be further along the truth in the full gospel. I thank God for the Pentecost and the full gospel and the latter rain because they have more truth given to them. And I thank God for the Church of God in Christ, the fullness, and all of these move of God to give many more light. But now the last call, the midnight cry, Elijah from it. The refining message. Malachi says he come to purify and refine like silver and gold, his words. Test it. Because he's telling us back to the blood of Jesus, the death and the suffering of our Lord Jesus, Son of God. I just want to say I love you. If you're outside of the covenant of Christ through the blood, today you can make a decision. I'm a sinner, just like Romans 3 and Romans 5 said, I'm lost. I'm cut off. In Adam, I know I'm a sinner. I have a sinful heart. I'm cut off. I'm born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But I need a Savior because the sinners need a Savior. And the Savior was Christ that lifted up on the cross and said, behold, the Lamb. And he said, it's finished, it's done, his blood was shed. Now nobody has to stay under the curse of sin and death. They can say, Lord, I accept Jesus in the blood and his redemption for my life. I confess him as my Lord, my Savior. Save me, Lord, redeem me. I put my trust in you. Come live in my life. Destroy the works of the devil. Cleanse me and purify me. Sanctify me. Deliver me. And he will do it if you call upon him today and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, from your heart. And believe that he died for your sin, that he purchased you, and your sins are no more. When you put your trust in him, your sins are no more. This I put my trust in Christ, the risen Christ. I put my trust, I'm a sinner. He said, believe on me. I believe on he died for my sin and rose again. And from my heart and from my faith, I give my life to him. And I believe he died and rose again for my salvation. And I trust him by faith, and it's done, because he hears the cry of the faithful. Now you have to praise the Lord. Find me a good Bible-believing church. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and then be filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. Coming to Christ as Savior, Romans 8, John 3:16, John 3:3, born again. That gives you a right to put your name in the Lamb Book. But you want to have power called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The power of God is to keep you and empower you. Thanks be to God. Now I hope to share with you again the end time prophet, Brother Lee. I'm signing out. May the grace of God be with you, for Jesus is coming, and the voice of one crying in the wilderness, a midnight cry, is at hand. Love you, beloved. Brother Lee, Block Radio, 773-251-4295. All you overseas, my brethren who are going through tribulation, I pray for you in every place. I lift you up before the Lord. Amen.
Thank you.